But see, if you're not in Christ, you have another master, and it's not Jesus. And Jesus loves you. He died for you, and He is the one who can buy you back. He's the one that can bring you back to your rightful creator and rightful owner, and that is God the Father.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Happy Monday, and thank you for tuning in for Pastor Bill's continuing study of the book of Revelation. On the program today, Pastor concludes the message, Song of the Redeemed. Let's listen in now.
That God's Lamb is not sitting, He is standing at the right hand of God. What does that mean? It means the lion, man. He is ready to take the scroll and to open it. Why? He's the rightful owner of this creation. Amen? Yes, he's going to take it back. So there we are. We're with Him. And whenever John says, as a lamb who has been slain or slaughtered, I want you to catch something for a moment. John is in heaven, and we, the church, will be in heaven with him at this. Well, I'm sorry, he's already gone. But what I'm saying, when we're there, we're going to see this. I mean, this event has not yet happened, and we're going to be there, and we're going to see Jesus, the Lamb of God, as though He had already been slain. What does that mean? You're going to see the marks, the prints in His hand where the spear went into His side, the scars, the horrible wounds that He received. You're going to see them. That's what John was talking about. Loved one, that is the only man-made marks that are in heaven right now. Do you know that? Whenever Jesus ascended, in Acts, Jesus took the disciples out as far as Bethany. And then it says a cloud received Him up into the, and He disappeared out of their sight or vanished. He went back to heaven, the resurrected, ascended Lord. And the angels looked at the two old boys, and I'm paraphrasing when I say that, and said, listen, guys, you know, are y'all from Fort Worth? What's your problem? You know, why are you looking up into heaven? Do you not know that the same Jesus who ascended will come back to you in like manner? Well, listen, when Jesus ascended, did He have scars on His hand? Okay. And did He have scars on His feet and His side? Yes. And you're going to see that. They're going to be for all eternity there, what Jesus did for you and what Jesus did for me, what He did for the world. He is our Redeemer. Amen. Whenever Jesus was there in the book of the Gospel of Luke, and He looked upon His disciples. He was getting ready to go and ascend and leave them. You know what He did was so wonderful. He lifted up His hands like this and looked upon them, and He blessed them. Well, you know what they saw? What did they see when He lifted up their hands? The nail prints. Amen. What was Jesus saying to them and to us? Don't you ever forget. Please don't ever forget what I have done for you. I took your place. Your sins are paid for. I paid them. Amen? Oh, listen, that is so wonderful to know those things. Whenever Thomas, remember Thomas, the disciple, and Jesus had already risen from the dead and had appeared to Peter, John, and James, the rest of them in a room, but Thomas wasn't there. And so a week later, Thomas shows up. And Peter goes, oh, Jesus, He's alive. He's appeared to us. And Thomas goes, listen, I will not believe unless I stick my finger into His nail prints and into His side. And then guess what happened? Jesus happened to just walk right through the wall. Hey, Thomas, what's up? And what did He say? Let me read to you what He said. In John 20:27, Jesus said to Thomas, hey, reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Slide it right into this nail print. He said, reach your hand here. Now come. He said, put it right there in my side. He says, do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas said, oh, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Amen. So when we get to heaven, we'll see that, loved one. Look at verse 7. And when He came, meaning the Lamb, Jesus, with all the marks of death, when He came, look what He did. He took the scroll out of the right hand of him, meaning God the Father, who sat on the throne. This is so incredible. Listen, this moment that we will witness in heaven, there's so much that's happening the moment that Jesus takes the scroll, the title deed of the earth. Loved one, something happens. First of all, our great high priest who intercedes for us, amen? And he's doing that right now. It's over. The intercession has ended. The Lamb of God is now the Lion of God. And something else has happened. When Jesus takes the scroll, the long suffering of God, he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth. The long suffering of God has now come to an end right here in chapter 5. And so down below heaven, guess what's going on in the world? The church is in heaven, but the world, it's asleep. And you know, the day of the Lord, meaning the wrath of God, that 7-year period of time, the day of Jacob's trouble, if you will. Listen, the world is asleep, and when the day of the Lord happens, the Bible says it's going to come like a thief in the night, suddenly, unexpectedly. Have you ever had a thief warn you? Hey, I'm going to rob your house tonight. Have you ever had that happen? No, it doesn't work. So the church is caught up. It's raptured. And those that are left behind now, as we will see beginning in chapter 6, they will face the 7 seals, the 7 trumpets, and the 7 bowl judgments of God's judgment. And listen to what will happen, what they're going to say. Revelation 6:16, this is the 6th seal judgment. He says, and those on earth said, oh, to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Have you ever seen an angry lamb? I've seen an angry billy goat. Why would I say billy? You know how they'll, never mind. Hide me from the wrath of the Lamb. Let me read the next verse. For the great day of his wrath has come. Who is able to stand? Meaning on earth. The answer? No one. Now look at verse 8. And when he had taken the scroll, look what happens. Oh, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders, that's the church, remember, they fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, all of them except the church of Christ. And then, it's a joke. It's a joke, okay? But that is true. I think they like music today or instruments in their church. I like a cappella music, okay? But I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Each having a harp. Matter of fact, we get our English word guitar from that word in the Greek, by the way. It says, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense. And look what they are, which are the prayers of the saints. Now look at the song of the redeemed in verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, oh, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slaughtered, you were slain. And look what he did, past tense, and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, nation, and have made us a kingdom of kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, redeemed us, it says, by your blood. Adam put all of mankind in chains, okay? Sin and death are a result from one man because he disobeyed God. But in Jesus, everything changes. It says in Ephesians 1:7, in him, in our Lord, we have redemption, there's that word, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Remember, redemption is something being transferred back to its rightful or original owner. And it says, in him we have redemption. You know what that means, loved one? The redemption means to purchase what has been lost. We were lost, but now we're found. Amen? We've been purchased because he paid a price, a ransom for us, so we could be set free. And the price, of course, was his blood. The Bible says in Acts 20:28 that God purchased us with his own blood. So we have past tense, present reality, fact, we have been redeemed, and it's only redemption is only found in Christ, no one else, loved one. So again, redemption means to free a person to let that person go, especially for that ransom. And we know that Jesus himself, and what was it, Matthew 20, 28, says, I give my life a ransom for many. And that's exactly what he did. You know, one of the great scriptures about redemption is found in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6, 20, where it says this, for you, that's me, you were bought with a price, with a ransom. That was the life of Jesus Christ, amen? That was the blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You and me, we are God's purchased possession, amen? It says in 1 Peter 1:18, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Now, if you had $1 million worth of silver and $1 million worth of gold, would you say they're corruptible? But you'd like to have that, wouldn't you? Okay. You wouldn't say, look at my corruptible gold. But it is corruptible. Why? Because everything on earth is still under the curse. Oh, listen, that's not San Augustine grass out there. I mean, that's not grass. When you get to heaven, you're going, oh, that's grass. When you see red or pink or colors, whatever's there, you're going to go, oh, that's red. Do you understand? See, everything's going to be all, Jesus said, I make all things new. Oh, what a day that's going to be, loved one. No, so everything on earth is cursed. So we've not been redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with from our aimless conduct, it goes on from the tradition of our fathers, but we have been redeemed with the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Oh, I thank God for that. Now, how long has God redeemed you? I hear people say, I don't know if I'm still saved. And I go, well, did you come to Christ? Yes, I did. Did you ask Jesus to be your Lord? And you meant it? Yes, I did. And I followed him, but I don't feel saved. And I say, well, you know what? Faith is filled with facts, not feeling. Amen? Yeah, I believe the Word of God. Listen, how long, when God saves you, how long does He save you for? Forever. Can I give you that scripture? It's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. It says, oh, that God didn't save us with the blood of bull and goats and calves, but with His own blood. Jesus with His own blood. It says, He entered the most holy place. That's in heaven. That's the Holy of Holies in heaven. He entered the most holy place once and for all, meaning once and for all means sufficient for all time and for all people. It says, having, that's past tense, obtained eternal redemption. You have been eternally purchased by God. He owns you. He will never let you go. You'll never be sold again. Your chains have been taken off, and you are sons and daughters of God, and God never changes His mind. Do you understand? Praise the Lord for that. Amen. God is so good. Now, I want to say something, and don't get offended, but I'm going to ask you what version of the Bible you have. Now, you may have different versions, and that's up to you, but and you say, well, why is that important? Well, I want you to look in your Bible, if you really have one. I mean, you maybe just have that amp. What's it called? App. I'm sorry. Second service, I get tired and hungry. I want you to look in verse 9. And here's what's important. In verse 9, you have to ask, if the 24 elders, we believe, are the church, okay? So you have to ask yourself, were they singing about themselves or were they singing about somebody else? So in verse 9, when it says redeemed blank, does your Bible say redeemed us or redeemed men or redeemed them? Very, very important. Because, let me tell you why. Because if it's not us, there's a big problem. Let me tell you what an old friend of mine, who's a scholar, a tremendous scholar of God's Word, on the radio all around the world, his name is David Hawking. He said this, the removal of the word us after the word redeemed in verse 9 is only found in the Codex Alexandrius. The majority of the manuscript readings, whether they're early or late, all contain the word us. So if that word us is not there, you need to, I don't know if you can correct an app, but if you can, you should do that. Now, look at verse 9. We're going to read it again. And they, the 24 elders, the church in heaven, they sang a new song, literally, which means a song that will always remain forever fresh throughout eternity, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. Why? For you were worthy, and you have redeemed us to God. How did he do it? By your blood, out of every tribe, tongue, or language, people, race, nation, that means every culture, all humanity, and have made us kings and priests, a kingdom of priests. We're a royal priesthood, amen? And it says, to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. When will that happen? At the second coming of Christ, when the Lord Jesus sets up the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign, the kingdom age. So this is our song. You better learn it because you're going to be singing it in heaven. Amen? So this is our song. Living creatures and angels are not redeemed. Only people. Only the saints of God have been redeemed, loved one. So this is a missionary song as well because it says out of every race, out of every tongue, and so forth. Why? Well, for God so loved the world, amen, that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes him not perish, have everlasting life. But then verse 17 of John 3 is very important. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent his Son into the world that the world might be saved through him, amen. Oh, I thank God we're saved. Now look what happened. This is incredible. Verse 11, then I looked so he can see, I heard his ears, I looked, I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures, the elders, that's the church, and the number, look at this now, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, myriads. The highest number, if you will, for the Greeks had a word. In other words, it's uncountable. Do you know how many billions of angels there are? Think about that. I mean, even AI can't, he couldn't count them for you. You know what I'm saying? It's unbelievable. And they were all saying, all of them, can you imagine this incredible chorus, this symphony of praise? They were saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessing. That's a sevenfold blessing upon our Lord. And watch this now. And every creature which is in heaven, every creature which is on the earth, every creature which is under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them. John says, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him, that's God the Father, be to him who sits on the throne and to our Lord, the Lamb, forever and ever. Listen, I don't even know how to teach that. I mean, the incredible, the universal worship of all creation. I mean, everything in God's universe is going to be worshiping. And listen, here's what you need to remember. What occurs right after this incredible worship session? Chapter 6, judgment. So there's this great worship time. And so all of creation, every tongue in the universe, no matter their location, in the sea, whatever it might be, boy, they're going to worship God the Father and God the Son. And listen to me now, in that day, there will not be one dissenting voice anywhere in God's universe. Not one. And it says in verse 14, and then the four living creatures said, amen. So be it, let it be. That's about all we could say, amen. And then he says, and then the church, the 24 elders, they fell down and they worshiped him who lives forever and ever. These are things that are yet future. Listen, there is coming a day. There is coming a day because God has given Jesus Christ, our Lord, a name above every name in this universe. Not a name. Has given him the name, not a name. The name, the greatest name above every name that is in the universe is Jesus Christ. Do you understand? And it says, in that day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Do you hear me? Every tongue, every knee will bow. It's at the name of Jesus Christ. Those in heaven, those on earth, those under the earth. That's Hades, the wicked dead, all the rest of them. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, will you listen to me? Those that are listening live, and maybe some that are here in the chapel. Maybe you're visiting or maybe you're just searching. I don't know. Same thing to you that are listening live. Let me say something to you, and I love you, but let me speak to you now. If you're not a Christian, in other words, if you have not confessed Jesus as your Lord, then listen to me for just a moment, because I used to be that person too. I wasn't a Christian. I didn't want anything to do with God. Isn't it amazing that the old nature that Adam gave us doesn't want to do anything with God? Isn't that amazing? And we didn't know we didn't want to do anything with God. We just thought religion was for weak people or whatnot. But listen, if you've not confessed the Lord, then you know what? Because of Adam's sin, you may not know it. You may not even believe it, but you're in chains and you're in darkness and you're a slave to sin and you're a slave to death, meaning you're going to die and you'll die without Jesus Christ, meaning you won't go to heaven. Loved one, listen to me. You know, Jesus loves you. He wants to set you free. That's my life scripture, by the way, John 8:32. You shall know the truth. The truth will set you free, Jesus said. Now, see, you won't admit it, but I didn't want to admit it either, but I was a slave to sin. My mind was blinded by the devil and so forth. And I didn't even know it. I didn't know that the devil wasn't my rightful owner. Does that make sense? He wasn't my creator. I wouldn't even believe in the devil, but he's real. But see, if you're not in Christ, you have another master, and it's not Jesus. And Jesus loves you. He died for you, and he is the one who can buy you back. He's the one that can bring you back to your rightful creator and rightful owner. And that is God the Father. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except by me. Amen? No one. And so you have that opportunity this morning. It's not about joining the church, because you can't join the church. You have to be born again. Then you're a member of the church. But you have to be born from above. Now listen carefully. I know it's time to go, but listen. If you don't confess Jesus now as Lord, then one day you will. If you don't do it today, when it's all said and done, then that one day you'll be part of the creation, whether you want to or not, but you will say, yes, you are worthy. Jesus is Lord. But heaven will not be your home. And God wants heaven to be your home. So if you're here this morning, you say, Bill, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that Jesus is really my Lord. I don't even know that I've ever asked Christ to come into my life and be my Lord. You can do that right now. You that are listening live, you can do that right now as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you pray this prayer, God will save you right now. He'll save you, and you will walk out of here, and your chains will be removed, and you will be a new creation in Christ, and you will be bought back, purchased by God if you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if that's you, church, help me pray. All of us, just pray with me right now. Say, Father, today, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. So right now, I confess Jesus with my mouth. Be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. Father, you promised if I asked Jesus to be my Lord, and if I believed it in my heart, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for those who lifted their hands. They just committed their hearts and their lives to the greatest Savior, the only Savior in the universe. Now, Lord, bless them. Oh, Lord, fill them with your Holy Spirit. They just entered the family of God. They just walked out of darkness into the light and the love of Jesus. We give you praise for that. And the church says, amen. God is good. Amen.
Pastor Bill's study of Revelation continues tomorrow, and we hope you'll tune in once again. Thanks, everyone, for listening with us today. Have a wonderful day, and we'll look for you next time. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.